Welcome to Balancing Motherhood. I am your host, Georgie, a spiritual business and networking mentor guiding you to work with the energies and cycles of the moon in your everyday motherhood and business. I help you move from a space of stuck, frustration, overwhelm, worry, guilt, exhaustion, burnout, to a space of flow, creation, acceptance, self-compassion, energy, and abundance. Together, we can create a life that you desire, that you get to embrace all your emotions and your beautiful, unique self. All of our episodes are raw, unedited, and unscripted, just like real life. So by tuning into the energies and cycles of the moon, we start to balance our own unique motherhood. Thank you for listening and saying yes to you. Let's begin the journey to balancing motherhood. Welcome to episode 4, where we're tapping into the new moon energies in the month of May. This energy is all about creating more money and abundance and really tapping into our self-worth and self-care. So on today's episode, we have an amazing guest who will be helping us reframe the cultural views on people's relationships with money. And this is Mel Pierce of the Money Collective. Everyone, and welcome to Balancing Motherhood. I am so excited that you're here because we have an amazing special guest. We have the beautiful Mel Pierce, who is going to be talking to us about money, about self-worth, and a little bit more. And so I will let her introduce herself. So Mel, please tell us about you and your incredible, amazing business as well.
Hi, Georgie. Thank you for having me on today. I am absolutely honored to be part of anything and everything that you create. And I would say that the business that we have has a lot to do with the guidance that I've had from you and to bring out all the things that we know to be true about money. So thanks for having me.
Oh, I love hearing that. I feel very honored. Thank you.
Yeah, so our business is called The Money Collective, and it was born and I remember you saying it was like a birthing process to me too, about in September 2019, and it's so true. Making a business baby, it's now a tiny little infant still, and we can see all of its potential.
Oh, I feel like it's a toddler right now, like it's gaining some momentum.
Yes, I think so. It's finding its legs, isn't it?
Yeah, its voice, it's amazing,
for sure. Oh, that is great. Yeah, so we came from a world of banking and finance and finding, you know, home loan solutions for our clients. And that is the world that me and our team have come from. So really strong banking background, which is very, you know, if anybody's listened to any of your podcasts or anything you've done, it's that very masculine way that our society operates. And we're really trying to bring in a new way of thinking about money. And I think, and I'm going to refer, everybody's going to have to listen again to Elijah if you haven't already, that we're coming into this new way in the world of thinking about everything, and we're leading the way when it comes to money. Because I really think the old way is out. We're trying to help and support people through their finance solutions in a really supportive way, through community and just knowing that money goes deeper than making financial choices and decisions.
That's pretty powerful. So tell us how people are living their lives now in terms of the sort of masculine way around money and how it's showing up in their everyday.
Yes. So I think perfect for today would be maybe put, you know, think about the role that money plays for us as mothers, us as business owners, or even just working mothers, or anybody really. and what that means, you know, and all the judgments that we put on ourselves when it comes to money, because we get out of bed to go and earn the money.
Yep.
Don't we? And it influences everything, like from when you wake up in the morning, what you're feeding your children, what you can afford at the supermarket, how we clothe ourselves.
Oh, yes.
Everything. Yes. How we exercise, you know, how we do and go about everything. Just it infiltrates every part of our life, whether we want it to or not.
Oh, and I just wanted to just bring in that judgment as well into that. Like from the, as you said, from the time that we wake up and every part of our lives, money is involved everywhere. And there is a judgment, you know, and we are judged on the type of clothes we wear, the type of where we go to the gym, the type of work we do, the type of job we have, the type of place of where we send our children to school. There's so much judgment on that. And
it is everywhere. How we talk to our children as well.
And I would love to bring in a personal thing here, if that's okay. And I'm if I want to, but I feel like this, it's sort of, I think it's appropriate, and other mums might resonate with it. But so there's so much going on right now in my life, right? There is so much. I've just had a baby. If some of you don't know, he's 5 weeks old. And we have a beautiful blended family, and I haven't been able to walk as well. So on top of that, and so there's like a lot going on. So a priority for me is making sure, right? This is all the priority for me in my head. Is that making sure that my girls are looked after properly, loved, cared, and in the right care, and so on, right? That's my main priority while I'm healing and doing my work. My priority right now is not to buy new clothes. It is like it's not a priority. They have clothes. They might not be the perfect clothes, but it's on the list, but not the top. So anyway, I got a letter from my little one's 3-year-old, by the way, she's 3 years old, and from the teacher saying that it's not okay that she comes to school with some holes in her clothes and her leggings. By the way, she got holes in them basically the day that she got them. And all this, like, it was a very judgmental letter. And I chose to go, that's okay, because I know my own life and my own lane and what I'm in and how she's cared for. And so it's, there might be judgment there, but I'm choosing not to judge myself. But that could have gone in a very different way. Right. I could have gone there and been very angry and upset, judged myself, made it all about me and how.
Yes. This is what makes you the master, Georgie.
Yeah. And how many mums out there do that? I mean, who wants to get a letter when you just had a baby?
Don't we, most of us, if you looked really closely about all the things that we value, don't we want holes in our children's leggings? Don't we want them playing in the sandpit? Don't we want them crawling around on the floor?
I was like, of course, I'm glad that happened. And I'm like, but why are you making my child feel bad for that? There was so much judgment on my child. So you know what I thought? I thought, what if a child came in there with designer clothes on? You're not going to judge them, but how do you know that in their life there isn't something going on? But you're not seeing that. So, yes, judgment from the time.
Yes. Well, that's amazing, because usually the judgment just comes in and it stays in our own head and it doesn't smack us where we can't avoid to address it like that. Usually it is just our own, you know, our child comes home with the holes in their pants and we think, oh, what does everyone think? What is everybody thinking? And we just have this inside commentary going on all the time. And that is, you know, what we live with a lot of the time, this continuous internal judgment.
And then what pressure does that put on the mum or the dad who's got other priorities in financial situations, right?
Yes. And then we ask our children to deal with that as well too, because then you can go to Diana and say, you know, you've got to have a conversation with her about not getting holes in her pants. I'm not saying you would do this, but or how the children treat their belongings as well. How do you realize how much I paid for that?
Oh, there's language there. Right.
Do you know how hard I had to work for that?
Wow. Yeah, that's so interesting. How often do we hear that? How often?
And this is what we talk about, is a money story, because we're creating a money story for our children by passing that on. They're inheriting that. And our money story has come from, and our beliefs come from, everything that we've learned over our entire life, from the moment we were born as well. And then all the experiences that we've passed through.
It's so true. So yes, so I just thank you for letting me share that part and and putting that out there. So let's come back to in our lives, like you were saying, money control, and it's a word that I know that we want to let go of, is controls everything.
Yes.
How is it controlling our, and we can dive deeper into with it with our children and our partners and our work, and what we eat. So how is that control showing up?
That's right. Yes. So control when it comes to money. So this is a big one. When it comes to language and money, people will come and they say, oh, all of my money. And the finance industry actually plays or preys on this and says, we'll help you get in control of your money, where that control is just a basically, if we look deeper, it'll uncover things that we actually fear when it comes to money, you know. And I think that's, I don't know where to go next. So whether, I think we need to talk about those fears that we have, but the control also leads to controlling behavior too, you know, thinking that we need to control, count all of our coins as they hit the bank account, control our partner, or we might have a controlling partner who has all of these beliefs. So this control and the fear leads to two main behaviors, basically, when it comes to money, that are not great. So, and I'm not saying everybody behaves like this, but the two things, and if this is happening in your life, you know, so it's controlling behavior around money or avoidance around money. So if those two, either of those two things, and they could be happening, both of those could be happening for you, or you could have one that's very predominant, especially if you've got a controlling partner or you are the controlling person, the other one might be more an avoider and a more submissive person, somebody who doesn't want to even look at the bank account. Or you might have that personality where you are so controlling and those purse strings are so tight. Either one of those two, you know, that's a, you're at one end of the seesaw on that, and you could be swinging between the two. They're warning signs, people.
Yeah, big. And so those are warning signs. Those are big triggers. Those are red flags, as we
they
say.
Are. They are.
So when, so let's say that, so we've got these two beautiful points here, the controlling and the avoidance. So what are some character, like what is something that people would do in their lives if they were controlling, and what are some of the things they do when they're avoiding? I know that one of them you said was the avoidance. I love that one. They don't look at their bank account. So they have to know what's happening. I was one of those. I was one of those people. And now I look at it all the time. Not all the time, but like often.
It's about this balance, isn't it? And this is about balance, isn't it? Everything comes back to balance. So avoidance, behaviors are, like you said, we say, not looking at your bank account, being scared, being fearful. And if push comes to shove, when you have to address something in there, it arises feelings of anxiety and anger, you know, so you, like, you have to go in and do the banking, you lock yourself away, this was me, and then you get angry at the world. Don't come near me while I'm trying to do this. I've been not wanting to look at it. I've been packing it away, and now I have to deal with it, so don't come near me. And I'm going to roar. And so there's things that I've been able to do to help, you know, do that. And it comes back down to getting help and support systems around you. Like running a business, I realized that my skill wasn't doing the bookkeeping and outsourcing VAS lodgements and things like that. Not thinking because I can or could do it, I have to do it, taking on that responsibility.
I love that. highlighting that just because you don't know how to do it doesn't mean you don't know how to do it. It just means you need the support and someone that does.
So and you don't have to love doing it. You know, letting go of that was the best thing that I ever did. It was so liberating. It was not my jam. You know, that was not my superpower. But for some reason, I thought that I had to do it all myself.
And where does that come from?
Yes, I don't know, Georgie. We need to work on that.
But where, like, for anyone that's listening, thinking about, like, where do you fit into? Like, which... Yes. Box are you currently in that you would like to come out of?
That's right. I just want to talk a bit more about avoidance too, though, because there's other behaviors in there too. So the other one is the tap and the go. So when you're out at the shops and you are, and I spoke to somebody 2 days ago, and he's called me, Mel, and no names mentioned. And if you're listening, that's wonderful. But my wife earns $17,000 a month and I don't know where the money's gone. I don't know whether somebody has, you know, scammed our account or I've just tap and spent that money. I do not know the answer. So many people live like that and they don't have this understanding, or they might take on additional debts and things like that, and then they've accumulated all of these things because they're living in this avoidance of not wanting to deal and look at things, and they keep accumulating, and then they, all of a sudden they realise that there's a big problem and they can't handle it.
Oh, I hear you. And those big problems are the little things that we buy on the tap, right? Because you don't even know you're doing it, because it's just there's a little one. And by the end of the day, you spend like $100 on little things you didn't even mindless, very mindless. Yeah, you can't.
That's right. Yes, because we're making. We don't have the skills to make the decisions at the point of sale. With this, if we're stuck in this type of cycle, basically what we don't recognize is that we don't have the ability to be making those decisions. So we need to step back and out of it first. And there's some things and skills we need before we're ready to. I'm not saying that because you have this behavior that you can't ever have a tap and go card. I believe that we should, and this is really what we're working towards, is to empower people to understand all the bits in between so they do have the power to be able to spend in a meaningful way that doesn't cause problems.
It's using the tool in a way that is purposeful.
That's right.
And mindful. It's a beautiful
tool, right.
Especially when you're a mom and you're holding this and doing that. And it's easy. It's just so much easier to tap.
Yes.
I love it. But
we don't know if we're not looking at our bank accounts and we can't. Yes. We've got the fear of looking at it. We don't know where we're at.
Yeah.
And so we're making we're not qualified to be making the decision, basically, of whether we can afford it or not, no matter what our brain is telling us at that moment.
I love that. That's a really good, that's a great point. And everyone that is listening. So with that one in particular, that tap and go, what is something that they can just, you know, start doing just for themselves? Like that's a little bit different to support that a little bit more.
Yeah, so it might be that you do need to change the behavior before you're ready to step back into it, to say, if this is causing a problem, if that is causing something that I don't want to continue, then you might need to stop doing it. And it might be as simple as going, I'm going to withdraw the cash that I'm spending. So when I'm out and about, I have given myself a little budget, you know, so to set some new behaviors and boundaries. You might just want to look at the last, maybe it's like eating out, for example, and it's the coffees, and you might just want to go and look at a week or a month's worth of spending in that. Don't get too deep into anything and just go, look, well, I spent $500 on that, which doesn't align to how I actually want to spend my money or how I want to live my life. I just want to halve that to 250. So you might take that 250 out, or you might set that into a different bank account and you can only tap that to 250 for the month. And you might run out really quickly, which is just another thing, because what you're doing is changing that behavior. You go, oh, wow, I did that so easily. you know, and you might want to top it up and you might spend $400 that month, or you might still spend the $500, but you're becoming much more aware of the spending and how, you know, that what the actual impact is on your life.
I love that. I love it. And just the, as Mel keeps mentioning, behavior, right? This is a behavior. It is not you, right?
Yes.
So I just want you to know. And
it is a lot not of, you.
There's so much entwined with the behavior and who you are. So that's where that self-worth comes in. We think it's the same. There's something wrong with us. It's broken. It's fixed. No, it's the behavior we can shift. You are whole and beautiful and perfect.
Yes. So, you are not how much you spend. You are not how much you have in investments. You are not the amount that's in your savings account. You are not your financial strategy. You are not those things. You can have all of those things, but you are not all those things. And we go and present to the world thinking that people judge us based on those things, that people, and we do it. And it's a truth about our society, you know, and I do want it to change. And that's why the Money Collective is here, because I passionately want these beliefs to change. But unfortunately, they are there. We believe these things about ourselves and we judge each other. We do. We could be all holy and be here and say, but you cannot say that the thoughts don't even, they're subconscious, unconscious beliefs that we have when somebody drives past in a flashy car or has an expensive handbag or goes on holidays all the time or has a big house that you think they can't afford.
Ugh. And all of that comes from, and all of that is they're better than us or better than
yes,
me because they had X, Y, Z.
Yes.
And then they, and that might be how they feel as well. Like, I am better than you because I have X, Y, Z, because that is what we look, that is what society shows us, right?
Yes.
Money and power, I'm better than you. That is why I'm here. I actually went to it was all day coaching thing. I can't even remember what the frigging was, but all I can remember was I just wanted to strangle him because I stood up there and he said, I am better than you because I'm up here.
Yeah.
And I'm better than you because I have this, I am a multi-million dollar coaching business. I was like,
yes.
How are you better than me? I walked out. No, I stayed for a bit just to hear some more because I could not believe what I was hearing.
Yes.
And then I thought, well, actually I'm better than you because I have this incredible life that I've created and I'm happy.
Yes.
And I have this, yeah, what it, this beautiful life and your life is very different to mine. So
I
we yes. success differently. So I was gobsmacked.
I had a similar experience. We learn these things. We do in finance. So banking and finance, and I was working for one of the major banks, and we would go to, you know, PD days, you know, so somebody would be there and they'd tell you how to do the job and follow, lead by example. They would even script all the things that you said and you just follow all the steps and then you will be successful. That is who you are. And just do it exactly like this person. And I remember them putting this one person on a pedestal, saying, because he brought in so much business and he had the perfect words and the perfect way of doing it. And that guy is in jail for fraud because he, I don't know, and we were all meant to follow along. And I did not fit in. And that this is why, you know, how we've ended up at the Money Collective, not just because of me, because I'm not alone. Other people have had these experiences too, that I couldn't survive in an environment like that because you have to play the game. And this is what we're so used to doing is playing the game in life. Playing the game, playing the rules that have been set out before us, because that's how we will be successful. But I know that my true success is not going to come out of playing that game. I can't even play that game for a minute anymore. And that's what you've just said. You can't play that game either. We have to play our own game. And we can't go looking elsewhere for all of these answers.
And where do you find these answers?
We find these answers. We have them. We need to understand that there is nothing we need to change about ourselves, that we're pure, whole, exactly the way that we are. And if we listen to ourselves, we know the things that we value. So is in terms of money and everything that I've been talking about, what I would say is look at yourself, and you could even write down all the things that make you happy. You know, what are all the things that you value in your life? What are the things that you like doing? What makes you you? Mm-hmm. And then you'll realize it's not potential. It could be the coffee. I know it might be for you, Georgie.
Still is. Could, yep.
Then we can do that stock take and go, well, these are all the things that I want in my life. For me, it's like, and I'm not doing all of these things yet. You know, it's eating whole foods. It's, you know, having fresh vegetables available. It's being and looking and being present with my children. It's not all the running around crazy stuff. And if we even look in our bank accounts and we do that again for a month and go, after we've written down all the things that make us us, how much of that is in our spending? Mm-hmm. Usually not much.
Oh, my God. That's so good.
If we think we've got a problem with our spending and you look at it, we could scrap so much of that crap that we're doing in our lives, you know, and then just start and go, well, we think that we can't afford certain things in our life, but we actually can. A lot of people think that they need to earn more money to do these things, and it won't come until they earn more money. But all you need to do is turn in to ourselves to realize that we can, and it's all there for us.
Oh my goodness.
And a lot of the time it doesn't even come down to money anyway.
No, and it's very interesting. Our bank statements basically mirror what our behavior is, right?
Yes.
We don't even know we're doing it, and then we go, oh, what, I don't even want to be doing it. I don't like that.
Yes.
This is what I want to be doing instead. And it's like, well, if I let this go and take this out and stop putting the money there and I replace it with what I actually want, oh, there it is.
Yes. Like from an outside in perspective, and I'm looking at people's bank accounts all the time, right? And you can open up somebody's statement and you can see the Macca's drive through and all these transactions, a million transactions, and it just feels and looks stressful. You can picture the life they're living.
Oh, I can.
And if I went and asked anybody, what do you value in life? What makes you happy? It's nothing on that statement. And yet that's the behavior and what they're doing.
Isn't that interesting? And I'll just add on to that, this beautiful paradigm we use is how you do one thing is how you do everything. So yes. How you spend your money is how you eat, right? Like it's so, and it's in, as you said, it's in the bank statement.
Yes.
And that's not what you want. So it is. And so just tapping into that. So instead of being, so go back to those words, that language you use and we use around the control and avoidance.
Yes. Yes.
What do people get to be instead?
Yeah. So instead of that, like you need to be feeling empowered when it comes to your money. You need to be feeling whole, you know. So we need to be dropping all of the emotion when it comes, and you need to be spending and be able to say that I'm spending on things of value in my life. So and that could be a really easy one too. You know, when you're at the point of sale and you tap and going, do I value this? How much do I value? Is this aligned to my value? And then you can, if you simply ask yourself that question, you can step away. I did this the other day and I said, can I have my card back, please?
Oh, wow.
I want to buy something.
Buying.
Oh, it was something in JB Hi-Fi, actually. It's not even that interesting. And I was about to just buy it mindlessly. And then I'm like, you are so ripping me off right now. And I didn't care about hurting that person's feelings. I think people buy things so as not to hurt people's feelings. And then I went back and I did actually need the thing, and I bought it online for instead of $170, I got it for $70 with free shipping. Okay. So we don't have to commit. Even if we think that we want it right there and then in that moment, we don't.
You don't. And you can take that moment before making that purchase. And I put my hand up to being that person, and I'm learning, I'm getting better at it, but it's like, oh, I want that, buy it. And then it's
yes.
Side of it. I didn't need that. And I did not need that at all. So
yes.
Take that moment to just take that step back.
take a step back and it's not really going to impact that person's life. They really don't care. In those retail environments, I'm not saying for small businesses sometimes. That's not always the case, as we know, for running a small business.
Yes. But just that simple moment can shift so many things, because it's each moment adds up, right? So
yes,
simply going, do I need this right now, or do I really need it? Just asking that question can change the outcome.
That's right. So, once you have control over, not control, I'm saying we don't want control over our money. Once we sort this out, control is bad, you know.
You want to be in charge or empowered.
Empowered and in, yeah, and in control, not control, in charge. Gosh, it's so bad. It's so intrinsic to our language. Oh, anyway, so once we're doing that, so we move away from feelings of guilt around purchases, right, and into feeling good about purchases, right? This is another thing. If you're moving into, and we're able to drop the guilt, because let's say that, for example, you want to go and engage a small business for something, and, you know, if you do, in your brain saying you can't afford to do that, you know, invest in that, you need to hit X, Y, and Z parameters before you can go and do that. For example, like me, remember when I first engaged you for coaching and I'm like, I don't know if I can afford that or whatever.
Yeah.
The goal is, you know, when we know we're nailing it, when we are spending our money on things that we value, and when we can recognize it when we're making the purchases, that that feels good and in line with the things that make us us, you know, that are stepping us forward into the life that we want and the behaviors that we want to be creating. Because there is nothing wrong with spending money and at all. There's nothing wrong. It's a part of who we are. But if we can consciously decide what we do value and what we want to be spending our money on versus the things that are not serving us. And a lot of the times that's very confusing. And sometimes when we've got all of that avoiding behavior and we're just spending, regardless of whether it's on something we value or not, we don't know what we can afford. So that's another level. We need to also understand whether we can afford what it is that we're spending on.
Oh my goodness. I mean, this stuff's gold. And if you're listening and you fit into one of those categories, and there's all of this is just going on in your head, like, oh my goodness, how do I even start? So that just simply asking yourself, like, how, reach out, right? Reach out to get that support.
Yes.
Because you might not know the how, but the person does.
Yes. We're not taught to recognize these things, though, like in our life, because we are so preconditioned to just believe our, you know, programmed thoughts that happen in our life. So it's very hard to do it alone. So reaching out for help is so important, because we know we can understand if there's an issue and we need something's wrong, and it's just getting the help. Saying, oh, I need, you know, well, helpless. This is another thing that saying, thinking that you're helpless is another trigger. So if you're saying those words that I want to be in control of my finance and I need help, these are triggering words. So if either of those things come up, this is the language, you know what I mean, that we're talking about. Yeah. I need help. I need to be in control. You definitely need support around you.
Definitely.
That's it.
And I'm curious, like, what stops people from thinking they don't need this kind of support? Because, like, it's almost like we're born, right, and we're supposed to know what to do with money. That's what it's like. And then
yes,
too late. So yes. What really is it that stops people from
thinking, this is a, you know, this, so you're asking me a question that you know the answer to, but it's our belief. Yes. We honestly believe that we can do it our own, that we're responsible for this ourselves, and that we equal our all of those things about money. We equal our bank accounts. We equal the clothes that we wear. We believe this. So we don't think that we have a problem. We don't even recognize the problem.
Yes.
Because we are believing so deeply that that is who we are, and we don't know it.
Okay, I love that. So for women, right.
So those things which just lead us into the spiral, basically. So we have these subconscious beliefs that lead to the behaviors. So those beliefs that we have that we don't know that we would hold, you do not know that you hold a belief that you equal your net worth, basically. We don't go around thinking that in our minds. Our brain isn't actually, and you can't say the words, but it's so deep buried in there that what we have equals what you're worth and how the world perceives you. That spirals into the behavior that we have in the world about whether how we avoid money or how we control money and sure. how we interact with money. Mm-hmm. What we buy, how we spend, how we look at our bank accounts, it leads to the behavior, right? And that's what we can see. And that's how we can, so if we can see those behaviors happening, and then if we're saying the words, I need help or I need to be in control, this is the next layer. If that's springing to mind, basically, I need to get in control of this shit. Shit, I need help. Then you can look back and you go, shit, I'm doing all those things Mel talked about. Like, yes, I've got all of those behaviors. And that is because of this deep belief that I have around money. So it doesn't start with the belief. It starts with the language. It starts with, I need help. I need to get in control because I'm having these behaviors because I have this belief. So let's go. So we're at the words and the language. I need help. I need to get in control of this stuff. This is where I'm inviting you to go from here to get help, to reach out and say, right, you know, because you need some support around this to undo all that bad shit that you've been doing for however many years in your life. And then, you know, that help might be just from somebody who's nailing this stuff, who doesn't come with all the baggage you have, but those people are very rare. Everybody knows everything about money, and this is another problem in finance and money, because everyone's going to give you all the answers and give you unload all their shit on you. But all you really need to know, if you're saying those words that I need help and I need to get in control of this shit, that you need support around you, and all you need to maybe go in really deep and start thinking about yourself and identify your current behaviors. So we talk about understanding your money story, where all of that came from. Go back, you know, and think about all of the things that happened to you from your, you know, what you learned with your family, your parents, then what you learned when you had to go and get your first job, what you learned when you, from your friends and their experiences, when you're in a romantic relationship, and how that has led you to be the exact person you are today around money. So we've got a tool that we use. It's called, it's a money personality quiz that starts at this point, which basically you can go and do the quiz, and you, it basically asks you a whole ton of questions around how you behave and what, how you think about money. And it spits out what your money personality is, and it might, and the personalities, there's four: a spender, a saver, an avoider, and a risk taker. And it's really interesting once you know what your money personality is, because you go, and it talks a lot about the main characteristics and behaviors that you have in your everyday life, so it helps point them out, and then you can go, yes, those things, and then, oh my god, this is how I'm impacting my relationship. Oh my god, this is how I'm impacting my children. And then make some decisions, and then you can go, like, when you're acting like a stupid person doing those behaviors, you can go, this is not me, pause, I'm doing it again, what is, who do I want to be, and, you know, what's true to me? How do I want to change that story for myself? And then I'm going to change the story for my children. So.
Wow. It's so powerful because I love that, just going back, simply remembering, like, what did your parents say about money when you were growing up? Like, what was the language that they used? What do you remember? And then, like you said, travel along that timeline
yes
of like your first job, what it was like at school, maybe teachers mentioned something about money. Just allow yourself to, you know, get downloaded all the stuff that you remember about money, and you'll notice how it's playing
yes
right now in the present moment in your life, and you hate it.
Yes.
Not you. So
yes.
And a question about this quiz, where can everyone find this quiz?
Yes. So what I might do is make sure that you've got the link, Georgie, and it will be in our The Money Collective community group on Facebook, in our group.
Beautiful. I think that is a beautiful, amazing place for people to start.
Exactly.
And then start to reach out. And Mel and her incredible team, which I have met, are great game changers on this. And so please share with us where they can find you.
Yes. So they can find us at themoneycollective.com.au. And on Facebook, we've got a group called The Money Collective Community.
Beautiful. And I will share those links, and I highly recommend getting on there and just chatting with one of them and dive a little deeper. And so just to wrap up this amazing session, Mel, could have you just share with us like a couple of points that we want to just end with so that they can take it with them today?
Okay. So I'm just going to say that the words that we use show us our fears and lead to our behaviors. That is it.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for this inspiring, very empowering podcast today. I know I'm going to be having a look at my statement. Good giggle.
Yes.
I mean, if you can't laugh at yourself, then, you know. Yeah.
That's so, exactly right. Don't be hard on yourself. I will always say this to everybody, just do not be hard, because, and do not judge yourself. Like what we talked about with the leggings with the holes, do not judge yourself. It is not you.
It is not you. You are not your behavior. You can change that.
You are not.
I can help you do that.
Yes.
Thank you so much all for listening, and stay tuned for the next one. And like I said, I'll put the links up there, and please comment and share. And if anything resonated or triggered, we'd love to support you. Other than that, thank you so much, Mel, for joining us today. Oh my goodness, this was so juicy. Thank you.
Thanks, Georgie. See ya.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. I would really appreciate it if you could like, share, and subscribe to this channel on whichever platform you're listening to. I would also love to know what resonated with you or even triggered something in you. So remember, if you want more, then don't forget to subscribe to this channel, and you can follow us on Insta at awakening.motherhood. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you on the next one. Mwah.